Good evening. Welcome to the Porch here on Firefall Talk Radio. I'm Richard Grund. It is Wednesday, November 23rd, 2016, the evening before Thanksgiving. So that's what we're going to be talking about is Thanksgiving. Broadcasting live from Firefall Studio on Firefall Talk Radio. Live broadcasts occur on Spreaker.com/user/Firefall Talk Radio. All one word, and then you can get it archived for download or listen here, as well as the old Firefall Talk Radio blog talk site. Many of you still listen from there. We reactivated that account and put the new shows back up, usually later on in the evening or first thing in the morning. So you might have to wait a little bit, but we appreciate you, and that's why we wanted to keep it going. The Porch is an outreach of Solomon's Porch, Inc. on solomonsporch.org, inspired by the fact that we believe that the Book of Acts Church was the model to follow, that the church age is still in effect. Day of Pentecost continues. The fire still falls. And we got a lot to talk about, so let's get to it. If you read blogs, I'm back to doing that. The Beacon's Glare is where you find prophecy and the paranormal or supernatural, and on solomonsporch.com, you'll find the WordPress blog for the porch. Praise and prayer. Always starting out, praise report, prayer request, and as always, I go first. Not because I have priority, but because I believe that preachers and teachers should lead by example. My praise report is the Lord. For his mercy on my life, his favor, for salvation, I am thankful, truly, every day, not just one day a year. I praise him for his mercy on America. I praise him for protection from all harm and the enemy, and boy, do we live in a fallen world. But I am thankful he did not abandon us or leave us uncovered. We are covered. He is the shield about us, the glory and the lifter of our head. I praise him for my home, for my family, my pets, my possessions. Tomorrow we'll begin it together with everybody that's here. Unfortunately, my younger son is out in California, so we will probably get him on Skype or something, but someday soon we'll all be in the same place at the same time. I praise him for this ministry, his ministry. It's not mine. You'll never see my name on this ministry. It's always his. Praise him for the cross. Praise him for the fact that the tomb is empty, cross is bare. Yeshua, Jesus, is alive, sits at the right hand of the Father in fullness and power. And we sit with him in the heavenly places. I am thankful for the upper room and the fire that fell. Thankful for the provisions and the favor that are coming, for the dreams and the visions that he has given, which leads me into the prayer request. About a year ago, I did a video when I was doing them, and I will get back to doing them. 2016 has been kind of a lost year for me, dealing with a lot of different things, mostly various physical and health issues that come with living in a fallen world and all that stuff with it. So I will be getting back to that, probably more likely 2017. One of the videos I did that got a good response was called The Tale of Two Cats, and it was the comparison of two cats that we took care of. We fed our neighbor's cat. She worked nights, so he would be out during the day while she slept and lay in our driveway and come to our door and jump up in our window. And then there was a female feral cat who would come by to get whatever food he didn't eat. Over the past year, she has softened to the point she was still feral, but she'd be waiting for me first thing in the morning and last thing at night. And she would allow me to pet her, and she would meow at me, and sometimes she'd even forget she was feral and rub up against my legs. And I was getting ready to do another video to follow it up, but both of them went missing at the same time last week. So somebody either took them or something happened to them. So I'm just praying for the Lord to reveal if they're okay, for our neighbor's cat to come home, because she's very upset, as are we, and a lot of evil things happen out there, and that just is bothersome to me. My prayer is also for America. Right now, we're in the middle of a couple of tragedies. We had a school bus crash where children died. Some were severely injured. Those families will be having a tough Thanksgiving. And then we've had 9 police officers killed in the last 10 days. And those families will be struggling tomorrow. So just remember them when you stop to pray, when you stop to give thanks, to pray for the least of them, pray for those that are suffering, pray for those that are in pain. My prayer is for the church to be the church in this dark hour, to shine the light, to minister to people, to go set the captives free, and that's part of the prayer for provision to travel in 2017. I'm planning, as of now, we are working on regular monthly trips to Birmingham, Alabama. And planning on, at least verbally right now, working out in my head a trip to Alberta, Canada to meet with the group of people up there who want to learn how to do what SRT does, to mentor them and possibly make them a Canadian branch of SRT. But that's going to take some funds. And the ability to get out there to preach and teach and for SRT to go help people. We've had some calls for help, but that will have to wait until we can afford to do it. So when you pray, ask the Lord to send the provision for the motor coach and for the plane fare and whatever it's going to take to go do what needs to be done in the year ahead. Kim in Fort Mitchell. She wrote, my praise report is for 90 days sober. Praise God. The blood test came back. The baby has no chromosome defect whatsoever and is growing fine. Well, praise the Lord for that. So I'm grateful for my children, for food on my table and a roof over my head. For good days to shine his light and for bad days to shine his light even brighter the next day. For his unconditional love in our relationship. I'm thankful for this ministry, this love and compassion I feel here. My prayer tonight goes out for the family members who lost their children in this tragic school bus accident, for the innocent victims of these bombings in the Middle East, for guidance, strength and protection over our families and pets, healing over our bodies and the battle wounds in this battle that's far from over, in Yeshua's name. Now, Kim, I want to praise the Lord for you. You've come so far, so fast. And I praise him for you. I praise him for the love that you've learned in him. And I praise him for what he's going to do with you. So just trust him. And my prayer request is that you just walk in faith one step at a time. Debbie in Washington said, my praise to God of all creation. His loving hands extend to his children and all he has created. His mercies and compassion never ceasing or failing. Praise, honor, and worship our God, Lord, and Holy Spirit. All right. If you remember a few weeks ago, maybe longer, she asked for a prayer for her dog Mingo. Well, the meds stopped working, and the pain got too great. And it came time to let Mingo go. So Mingo has gone over what we call the Rainbow Bridge. So it has drawn her kids closer to him and her and her husband. She's thankful for the Lord for his love. And she is thankful for the wonderful time that they had with Mingo on this side of heaven. Prayer request is that each porch family will be blessed in all and every area of their life as we take up our cross. I also want to say I'm thankful this Thanksgiving for each one of you for praying on behalf of my family and me. You blessed me. Says, I love you all, brothers and sisters. Thank you, Reverend Grant, for every word and teaching. You are a wonderful person and faithful brother. Thank you, Deb. Joanne in Port St. Lucie says, I thank the Lord each morning I rise and say good morning, my Lord, and I thank you for your mercies anew each morning. Life has gotten complicated, but with Christ it is plain and simple. Keep focused and trust in him in all you do. We got one from Leanne in Franklin, Tennessee. She's thankful for the miracle of healing she received a year ago, and today when the Lord healed her shoulder and kept her from having to have surgery. Junior in Oklahoma, prayer request. Remember we talked about this a couple weeks ago. They were in an accident. The payment didn't go through in time. Well, apparently the insurance company is not going to cover the accident. They're saying it was not paid until the day after. They're basically saying that his wife is not telling the truth, but they're praying to find proof on their computer that she did it when she said she did it, and it can be done, brother. It's got to be somebody who knows how to go into the browser history and even into areas on the hard drive that immediately captures images of your browser. Said, so I'm asking for prayer that the other car is covered with uninsured motorist coverage, and the third vehicle, which was involved, is bare minimum damage. My wife is friends with the third vehicle. Wasn't much damage because it was a Hummer. Go Hummers. And we are keeping a joyful spirit about it, but needs prayer for strength and faith. Brother, I just pray right now, whoever you have do this, we'll be able to find that information for you so that you can prove that she did it when she said she did it and it was their system that didn't log it in time. Been there and have had to fight with somebody over a situation like that. I think it was a bank. But I finally was able to prove it and I had it back down. So I pray that happens for you. Father, we just come to you now in the name of Yeshua, the name above all names. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for how great you are, how awesome you are, how loving you are. We thank you for reconciling us and restoring us in right relationship with you so that we can say, Abba, Father, Papa, God, Daddy. We pray right now for each one of these prayers and for all those that are hurting, all those that are lost and dying and don't even know it, that we would have the strength and the courage to shine the light, to set the captives free. We clear our minds right now, Lord. We take our thoughts captive to the obedience of Messiah, our Messiah, blood-bought on the cross, the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world, who has taken away the sins of the world. And we thank you for doing that. We ask you, Holy Spirit, first of all, we thank you. Even though you were sent, we still thank you for walking with us and encouraging us and doing what you do. Help us tonight to receive this word, to hear what needs to be heard. Help me speak English. Hear what needs to be heard. For hearts to be opened, for minds to be cleared, for eyes to see. Father, you just reminded me, we pray for Angelica in Ohio. She has to go into the hospital on Monday. She's losing weight and they don't know why. Father, we pray that you'd heal her and that you'd reveal whatever it is. Restore her in wholeness and healing. Each and every one that needs wholeness and healing, mentally, emotionally, physically, financially. We ask for the provisions to go and do. We bind the powers of darkness. We declare and decree the power and the victory of Calvary against them. We call forth your power in the name of the Lord in our lives. And Lord, just bless this time. Please bless this time. Bless tomorrow. Bless the days ahead. Let us be the church. Let us be the called out ones. Let us be the light on the hill that all can see and find their way home to you. And we ask all these things in Yeshua's name. Amen. Sound. These lessons are proprietary information, except we're noted that the information comes from outside sources. The combination of that information that are presented is exclusive, cannot be repeated or used without permission. The date of this broadcast serves as the registered date of the following information. In case you didn't know, tomorrow's Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a national holiday that we celebrate here in the United States. They also celebrate it in Canada, different times. It was originally celebrated as a day of giving thanks for the blessing of the harvest of the preceding year. So it was spiritual in its origins. It's celebrated on the second Monday of October in Canada and the fourth Tuesday in November in the United States. Several other places around the world observe similar celebrations. And although its historical roots are religious and cultural, it has also become secular as well. As always, when the Lord inspires something, the world will take it, water it down, cut him out of it, and then try to pass it off as their own. The event that we call the First Thanksgiving was celebrated by the pilgrims who was celebrating the first harvest in the New World in 1621. As you know, I've said many times, they came here to create a new Jerusalem. They came here to worship in the fullness of God, meaning they were very messianic in their beliefs. They wanted a Friday to Saturday Sabbath where they did nothing, and then a Sunday fellowship with all their brothers and sisters in the Lord. The original feast lasted 3 days, and according to attendee Edward Winslow, it was attended by 90 Native Americans from the Wampanoag Indian and 53 pilgrims. Pretty amazing. There were more Native Americans than there were pilgrims. And everybody got along, and there was no fighting, and there was no, you're darker, you're lighter, you're this, you're that. They came together to celebrate. And even though many of the Native American tribes adhere to what is an ungodly belief, many of them adhere to beliefs of the Great Spirit in the sky, that when you compare and you talk to them and you get closer, you find out that somehow, some way, they were told about Yeshua. We've heard it with the Native American Indians. We've heard it with, name just went out of my head. They're not Eskimo Indians, but they're up from that area. The Inuit, where when a missionary went to minister to them, an angel had come and told one of their ancestors about the Lord. So they came together to celebrate. And for more than 200 years, Thanksgiving was celebrated in the individual colonies and states. It wasn't until 1863, in the midst of the Civil War, that President Abraham Lincoln proclaimed a national Thanksgiving Day, which would be held each November, which we adhere to. And this is what it was, October 3rd, 1863, by the President of the United States of America, a proclamation. Now remember, this is in the middle of a civil war. This is in the middle of a nation torn in half, two different sides, North and South, the Union and the Confederacy. This is a country that needs healing. The year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with the blessing of fruitful fields and healthy skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come, others have been added, which are so extraordinary in nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart, which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. In the midst of a civil war of unequaled magnitude and severity, which has sometimes seemed to foreign states to invite and provoke their aggression, peace has been preserved with all nations, order has been maintained. The laws have been respected and obeyed, and the harmony has prevailed everywhere except in the theater of military conflict. While that theater has been greatly contracted by the advancing armies and navies of the Union, needful diversions of wealth and of strength from the fields of peaceful industry to the national defense have not arrested the plow, the shuttle, or the ship. The axe has enlarged the borders of our settlements, and the mines, as well of iron and coal as of the precious metals, have yielded even more abundantly than heretofore. Population has steadily increased, notwithstanding the waste which has been made in the camp, the siege, and the battlefield, and the country, rejoicing in the consciousness of augmented strength and vigor, is permitted to expect continuance of years with large increase of freedom. No human counsel has devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, has nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning to foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwells in the heavens. And I recommend to them that while offering up the ascriptions justly due to him for such singular deliverances and blessings, they do also with humble penitence for our national perseverance and disobedience commend to his tender care all those humble penitence for our humble national perverseness and disobedience commend to his tender care all those who have become widows, orphans, mourners, or sufferers in the lamentable civil strife in which we are unavoidably engaged, and fervently implore the interposition of the Almighty Hand to heal the wounds of the nation, and to restore it as soon as may be consistent with the divine purposes, to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union. In testimony whereof, I have herefore hereunto set my hand and caused the seal of the United States to be fixed. Done at the city of Washington this third day of October in the year of our Lord, 1863, by President Abraham Lincoln. Sounds like this could apply right now. After the last election, which has been very much a political civil war, it's been a social civil war. A lot of hate, a lot of anger, which we're still seeing going on in the streets. We really need to pray for the hand of the Lord to shut down what the enemy is doing, what the fallen are doing, what the powers of darkness are doing. So biblically, what is Thanksgiving? According to the Holman Bible Dictionary, Thanksgiving is gratitude directed towards God, generally in response to God's concrete acts in history. It's a term commonly found in the book of Psalms, 147:7. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving, sing praises on the harp to our God. Thanksgiving means public acknowledgement, to declare aloud in public to another. And this word, along with singing and instruments, suggest the use of the psalms in musical settings with words of praise and instrumental accompaniment. So here's what I want you to do. Your assignment tomorrow is when you sit down at the table with your families, come to the table with the psalm, with the scripture, with something that you can read aloud and say thank you to the Lord. Psalm 92:1, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and sing praises to your name, O Most High. Psalm 100:1-5, a psalm of thanksgiving. There you go. If you want to read it, there it is. Psalm 100:1-5, a psalm of thanksgiving. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands, to serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. See, Thanksgiving was central to worship in the Old Testament. David got it. David understood it. Sacrifice and offerings were made, not grudgingly, but with thanksgiving. You know, Deuteronomy 8:10 says, when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. So start tomorrow with the praise of the Psalms. And then at the end, before everybody goes off to fall asleep from the tryptophan that the turkey gives them, or the fact that they've eaten too much, or you go off to watch football, or whatever it is you're going to go do, stop and thank him. Spontaneous thanks. Bless the Lord from your heart. Psalm 107:22, let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. It's not easy to do this. It's a sacrifice. Psalm 56:6, New King James, I will freely sacrifice to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. The New Living Translation of that is, I will sacrifice a voluntary offering to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. Father, you are worthy of praise. Lord, your name is good. It's the name above all names. And it's good. Even in Jonah chapter 2, verse 9. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And it's interesting that the Lord brought me here many years ago. Oh, I was a baby Christian. I'd only been saved a short period of time. I was in Tallahassee, and I think it was 1990. So I would have only been saved for 2 years, and I had just gotten to Tallahassee. I don't remember what inspired it. I think somebody had made a promise that they didn't keep. The Lord began to speak to me about vows. Yeah, a vow is a voluntary expression of devotion, usually fulfilled after some condition had been met. And vows in the Old Testament were conditional, which means, Lord, if I do this, you'll do that. Well, a vow unfulfilled is worse than a vow that was never made. They don't appear often in the New Testament, but Paul made one in Acts 18:18 that ended in him shaving his head. And I have I'll be honest with you, many of you know I now sport a shaved head. And I've gotten used to it. I actually even come to like the easiness of it. But it was not something I chose to do. It was something the Lord said, I want you to do this. You know, he had me grow the beard, and then he had. So there's a vow in this that I don't understand. But a vow is a commitment to show your love to the Lord in a particular way. And though it is voluntary, you are obligated to fulfill it once you make it. See, he expected us to do what we said we were going to do. Matthew 5, verse 37, red letters, let your yes be yes and your no, no. For anything more than this is from the evil one. And the one thing he revealed to me back then that I've always held to, if you fail to fulfill a vow, it's a sin. Ecclesiastes 5, verses 4 through 6, whenever you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it. For he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin, nor say before the messenger of God that it was an error. But why should God be angry at your excuse and destroy the work of your hands? Vowing is purely voluntary. And it's not necessary for the development of your godliness or your spiritual nature. But the one thing I do know is that if you say you're going to do it, do it. Deuteronomy 23, verses 21 through 23. When you make a vow to the Lord your God, be prompt in fulfilling whatever you promised him. For the Lord your God demands that you promptly Fulfill all your vows, or you'll be guilty of sin. However, it is not a sin to refrain from making a vow. Once you have voluntarily made a vow, be careful to fulfill your promise to the Lord. See, being thankful means being obedient. Psalm 116:18, I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. This is thankfulness. Lord, I thank you, so I'm gonna do this. I do this because I love it. I don't give money because I have to. I do it because I want to, because I want to be a blessing. I want to help that person. I want to do this. I don't go where I go for any reward or any fame or anything that goes with it. I do that because I've told them I would, and I've always kept my word. If you have made a promise to the Lord, if you have made a vow in his name, and you have not fulfilled it, you have an open door in your life. Tomorrow, when you get before him in thanksgiving, if something I've said has just reminded you of something you said you were going to do and didn't do, repent before him and honor your vow. You can't make an excuse about it. See, the psalmists, in their songs of thanksgiving, valued thanksgiving more than sacrifice. See, it's so hard to separate the two. Will you bring the sacrifice of praise? Yeah, you know, I've sung all those songs. I've done all that. I don't think people listen to what they're saying. So I don't feel it's a sacrifice when I praise him. I don't feel it's an obligation. I have to. From the depths of my heart, from who I am and what he's done for me, how can I not? Psalm 69, verses 30 and 31. I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bull, which has horns and hooves. We don't do that anymore. We're not under that sacrificial covenant. We won't be under it even if they rebuild the temple wall. We're here. The sacrifice has been made once for all by Yeshua on the cross. But he wants this from your heart. See, the enemy wants you to hate it. He wants you to grit your teeth. The enemy, the fallen, want to get you into a position of disobedience and sin. You know, I may have told the story already, but there was a period of time we were going through some tough situations. We were under attack because I'd stood up for a brother of mine that was being railroaded in a federal court. And the family's thankfulness to me for doing that, the next brother in line, the younger brother of this gentleman, made a promise to me. He came to me and said, thank you for what you did for my brother. You and your family will never want for anything. And then he didn't honor that word. And we did struggle, and we did want. And then when I called him out on it many years later, he said, oh, that was based upon this, and that was based upon that. And I told him, I said, the Lord told me this morning it was based upon nothing more than your word. You should have said it, and you said it, and you should have done it. I said, because of that, you've watched your business efforts fail and every door you knock on slams in your face. And here's what the Lord told me to do today, was to release you from your vow. Within 24 hours, every business deal he had went through. And he was blessed immeasurably and everything changed. By the way, he never fulfilled the vow. He still didn't honor his word, even though my releasing him did that and I released that to the Lord. See, David implored the Levites to invoke, to thank, to praise the Lord in First Chronicles. He appointed some of the Levites to minister before the Ark of the Lord, to commemorate, to thank, and to praise the Lord God of Israel. First Chronicles, that was 16:4. First Chronicles 16:7 picks up. And on that day, David first delivered this psalm into the hand of Asaph and his brethren to thank the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Talk of all his wondrous works. Glorify in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. That's a historical fact that David and Asaph came together, I guess, in a psalm-writing king that team that get mentioned later on in Nehemiah 12, who taught the people how to praise. This little shepherd boy, yes, he slew Goliath, and yes, he did all these great things for the Lord in battle. One of the greatest things he taught Israel was to praise the Lord. 1 Chronicles 23:30, to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise in the evening. Can you do that first thing tomorrow morning? Starting tomorrow morning, if you don't already do it, first thing when you stand up, before you do anything, just raise your hands towards heaven. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the beating of my heart. Thank you that my eyes are open. And then do that again at the end of the night. And then maybe 7 times throughout the day, as David did. Just spontaneous praise, wherever you are, in your car, at the gym. I've already told you that I'll have my headphones on and be listening to praise and worship music or anointed music to work out to, and I'll raise my hands up and people think I'm stretching. What I am doing right there in the middle of this massive gold gym is praising the God of all creation. Nehemiah 12, when they were rebuilding the wall, praise became a part of it. Thanksgiving became the mortar that held it all together. Nehemiah 12, starting in verse 46, from the days of David and Asaph of old, there were chiefs of the singers and songs of praise and thanksgiving to God. In the days of Zerubbabel, in the days of Nehemiah, all Israel gave the portion for the singers and the gatekeepers, a portion for each day. They also consecrated holy things for the Levites, and the Levites consecrated them for the children of Aaron. Making a pilgrimage to the temple and temple worship, excuse me, was characterized by thanksgiving. Psalm 42, starting verse 3, my tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I yet shall praise him for the help of his countenance. It was a way of life for them. Psalm 95, verses 1 through 3, O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. You know, part of my warfare each day, which has gotten increasingly hotter and more violent in the spirit, I've become proactive. I've become aggressive in letting them know that they are gods with the little g, but the great God, the God of all creation, my heavenly Father, my Abba Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Father of Jesus of Nazareth, the one that sits at his right hand as my Lord and Savior, King of kings and Lord of lords, and he defeated them on Calvary, that at his name, at the name of Yeshua, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, that Jesus of Nazareth, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And then I'll punctuate all that by saying to every demon and fallen angel within the sound of my voice, bend your knee now. Psalm 122, verses 1 through 4, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together, where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. We used to go to church in Tallahassee. It was a big church, Pentecostal Holiness Church, and they would do that. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. But the problem is that was just a building, that we were all coming together to fellowship as the church. We are the living house of the Lord. We are the walking structures of the Ark of the Covenant. Within us is the resurrected buds of life on Aaron's rod. And within us is the manna from heaven. We are living houses of the Lord. But then when we come all together, we are true temples of the living God that have come together to praise his name. I firmly believe that with an attitude of thanksgiving and praise, we can shake the heavens. We can shake the heavenlies. We can kick in the gates of the underworld and plunder it. We can rescue our sons and our daughters. We can rescue our husbands and wives who are not saved and maybe caught up in bondage to something or lost, and they're out there. If we would begin to praise, if we would begin to empower our spirit man and woman with the praise of the living God, if we would stand in his presence and soak in the glory and soak in that presence, we would be weaponized praise instruments. Psalm 35:18, I will give you thanks in the great assembly. I will praise you among the people. Will you do that? Will you praise among people? We go out to eat, and I don't care who's looking, whether it's just me and my wife or a group of us. We'll grab hands, and we'll nod our heads, and we'll begin to pray. And if the waitress comes up with an order, they have to wait. Waiter, they got to wait. I will not acknowledge them until we're done. I will praise him in the great assembly. I will praise him in public. I will praise him in the dark. I will praise him in the night. I will be thankful to the Lord of all creation, my Father. I will be thankful for what he's done for me, for the salvation of my life, the restoration of my family. I will thank him. Thank you. Thank you. Psalm 44, verses 5 through 8. Through you, we will push down our enemies. Through your name, we will trample those who rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, nor shall my sword save me. For you have saved us from our enemies and have put to shame those who hated us. In God, we boast all day long, and we praise your name forever. Selah. I'm thankful for the covenant that he made with Abraham, which carried down to us. I'm thankful for the covenant he made with us on the cross. Psalm 100, verse 5, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, or endures forever, and his truth endures to all generations. Even in the midst of whatever you're going through, he's merciful. I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and justice for the poor. Surely the righteous shall give thanks to your name. The upright shall dwell in your presence. Psalm 140, verses 12 and 13. I praise him every day, and I pray for the fatherless and the widows, for the poor, both in spirit and in life. I pray for those that need him. I pray for those that are victims of injustice. I pray for the homeless and the downtrodden. Because I know that his eyes are on them, and I know that he cares for them. And if he cares for them, I care for them. Psalm 30, verses 4 and 5, sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. His anger is but for a moment, his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. You know, there will come a day And in that day you will say, O Lord, I will praise you. Though you are angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song. He has also become my salvation. Therefore, with joy you will draw waters from the wells of salvation. And in that day you will say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his deeds among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, O inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. That was Isaiah 12:1-6. You know, if creation groans for the return of the king, it also joins in an offering of praise and thanks. His works praise him. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power. And as I already pointed out, Nehemiah made it an integral part of rededicating the walls and the temple and everything he rebuilt. And he went back there to put the walls back up. And the people got so excited that they spent days praising him. It took 52 days to complete the walls. And soon after the dedication was held, for over the Israelites and the Levites and everybody that were brought there for the ceremonies, the singers and the musicians, they were singing with cymbals and stringed instruments and harps, and it was so raucous and so powerful, it was heard in villages far away. And the priests had their trumpets, and it was just what David had inspired. And then Ezra the scribe led the procession. And they started at the fountain gate, and they went up the steps to the ascent to the city, toward the city of David, and they passed the house of David, and they proceeded to the water gate on the east. And there was two choirs, one going in one direction, another going in another direction. They came around to meet together, and one went. And the choir director and the choir was singing, and the leaders were singing, and the two choirs were singing, and they proceeded to the temple of God, and they took their places, and they began to pray, and they began to play, and they began to sing, and they began to shout, and the women and children participated with them. And it was a joyous day. And the people had great joy. And like I said, the cities and towns nearby heard it. That's how loud it was. Because the wall had been fixed and they had been purified and they'd been cleansed. The city and the gate and the walls had gone through their cleansing. What a wonderful, wonderful picture. And feeling. What a wonderful excitement that the people had. And the women and children were participating. Sound of Davidic praise. If you've never done that, I have. I've seen people do it. I've seen them do it in ritual. I've seen them do it in obligation. But I've also seen them do it under the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. And there's a big difference. I long for that. I long for the day that this fallen world is done. And we can praise him in the New Jerusalem. We can sing and shout and dance. See, Thanksgiving should be a natural element of our worship as believers in Yeshua. And it should be intertwined into every part of our lives. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. As you have therefore received Messiah Yeshua, the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and be thankful. Colossians 4, verse 2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Obviously, the Colossians needed a lesson in prayer and thanksgiving. Hebrews 13, verses 15 and 16, therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. See, they were thankful not just for provision. They were thankful for the fact that when the signs of the Messiah arrived, he began to heal people. He began to do things no one had done before. You know, Luke 17 talks about he went into a certain village, and there were 10 men who were lepers, and they stood far off. And they lifted up their voice and said, Yeshua, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God. I bet he sang some of those psalms we talked about. And fell on his face. He fell down on his face at the feet of the Lord, and he gave him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Yeshua said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Were there not found any who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well, has made you whole. See, the other 9 had their leprosy healed, but this man was made whole. And he wasn't a Jew, he was a foreigner. Don't be surprised when the people that sit in the pew don't get it. People caught up in religion don't get it. We should be thankful for being delivered. Romans 6, 17 and 18. God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. See, we're no longer slaves to sin. We're slaves to God, we're slaves to the Lord, and we're slaves of righteousness. Voluntary slaves, by the way. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift, 2 Corinthians 9:15. Philippians 4, 6, be anxious for nothing but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. But here's what I look for. Here's what I look for. Revelation 7, 9 through 12. After this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. I mean, this crowd is huge. I mean, every nation is represented, every tribe is represented, every people, every tongue, every language, everybody is represented, and they're standing in front of the throne, and they're standing before the Lamb of God, and they were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands. And they were shouting, with a mighty shout, salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb. But see, it doesn't stop there. Because all the angels that were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living beings, they fell before the throne with their faces to the ground and worshiped God. Folks, let me tell you what. When you are in the presence of true worship, anointed worship, real Holy Spirit-inspired worship of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you are going to get sucked into it. It's going to envelop you. It's going to pull you down onto your face, onto your knees. And the angels and the elders and the four living beings, and they began to say, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength belong to our God forever and ever. Amen. I want to be a part of that praise. I want to be a part of the praise that's so powerful that these four living creatures and the angels that stand around the throne who are the biggest and the baddest can't take it. And they have to worship and they have to bend their knee and they have to get on their faces. And if you have a crown, you throw it down because it's worth nothing in his presence but to worship him. And we live in a world that worships people and glorifies people and deifies people. And I just simply want to shout, can you be nailed to a cross? Can you shed every drop of blood? Can you die and raise from the grave 3 days later? No? Then you're not worthy of my attention or my worship. Because I know the one who did those things. Oh, and he knows me too. Father, I just come to you now as your son. I come to you, Lord, and I come to you and I beg you from the bottom of my heart, meet your children at their needs, touch them. Some of them hear what I'm saying and they may have become moved, but they don't get it. They never felt it. Lord, rain your spirit upon them now. Send the rain of refreshing. Send the rain of your love. Envelop them in your glory. Touch their lives. Heal their pains, Lord. Lord, send us out. Send us out to set the captives free. Send us out to glorify your name and to shine the light and to lead your children home. Send us out. We are thankful. We are thankful for your love. We are thankful for your blessings. We are thankful. We just love you, Father. Heart, mind, body, soul, and spirit. We praise you in Yeshua's name. Amen. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bless you and send you on your way with a little clip from Dennis Jernigan that I've used in the past that I think is appropriate. Remember what I said. You have your assignments tomorrow. Let me know if anything's miraculous or spiritually spontaneous happens. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, give you shalom. I'm Richard Grund. This has been The Porch on Firefall Talk Radio.